Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio slash the due south wall of our bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for listening to the book last week. We are back live. It's not live.
It's not live.
You guys know
but
how podcasts work.
Yeah. We're back. We've been busy. We've been traveling. I re-listened to the little kid chapter of the book that we posted last week. It was even better than I remembered.
Yeah, Mel hadn't read the book.
No, I read it so many times.
Mel, here's the thing. Mel had only just read her POV so many times. Over and over. Well, it's nice, you know.
And then I wrote all those study guide questions.
Right.
I got extra credit.
Yeah. Above and beyond.
Above and beyond.
You always have been a teacher's pet.
And I did not get paid for that.
And I think indirectly.
No, that was a pre-order bonus.
Pre-order bonus. Yeah. That really set people. You know, I am starting to get a lot of gig requests for like marriage conferences.
Are you?
Yeah. I think that people are finishing the book now.
Yeah.
You know, I had this very funny moment on stage in Bakersfield this last weekend where someone had the book because I forgot to bring it on stage for my pitch. And they handed it to me and I was like, you've not, they had like the little flap and it was like the second chapter. I was like, you haven't made it very far into this book. This came out on June 7th. But I think that's what it is, you know, people are finishing it now and they're like, oh.
Well, and I think back to school, like parents, like maybe they brought it to the beach and didn't read it because bringing a book to the pool or the beach is like nonsense as a parent or on a vacation. So maybe now they can.
Yeah. People who read at the beach in general, I'm like, your child has drowned.
Water safe. Well, and if you only get to swim or go to the beach or the pool with your kids so many times.
Right.
They want you in there.
They want you in there. Yeah.
And
my
especially you.
My hat's off to the parents who have somehow finagled their way into not getting in the water with their children. My hat's off.
I told my girls Sunday, I'm not getting in the pool with you.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, Claire wasn't on the swim test list. I had to get in.
Yeah.
Like the lifeguards made me.
Yeah.
And so
you were sick.
There I was in the pool.
Mama took some sickness into the pool.
Wasn't COVID.
No, I don't think COVID does that. I'm going to keep this real vague because this is a family-friendly podcast, but I don't think COVID does that. I know COVID does a lot of stuff, but it doesn't do that. This is all staying in, Stephen. This is all staying in. Stephen, hilarious intro last week.
Oh my gosh.
Come and get the book yourself, buddy. They're here.
You can get it. Have to listen to that intro because Stephen worked out a new bit on our podcast about...
Well, he doesn't do stand-up much anymore, so this is his outlet.
How new dads can't be that positive about their kids.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just working out.
It was fantastic.
He just open-mic'd on our intro to a podcast. So I sent him the video because I did that joke about like that TikTok slash reel about, you know, the goal in life is not to have a pool. It's to have a friend with a pool. And that's at the famous English pad. That's there.
Yeah.
That has millions of views. Like that went big on Instagram and TikTok. And I sent it to Steve and he's like, my dad is going to be so happy to see that.
Well, yeah, his dad is actually a huge comedy fan and a fan.
Yeah, his dad finally has someone in his life whose comedy he can be proud of.
Oh, stop it. He's very proud of Steven.
I said whose comedy he could be proud of.
Okay.
Get back out there, Steven.
All right.
Hit the mics, baby. You know I want to bring you on the road with me. You know it's you, Steven. It's always been you. It always will be you, Steven.
That's what you should write in his book. That you signed.
It's always been you.
It's always been you, Steven.
This guy really sweet. I haven't seen Steven in months. I'm just a little upset. Steven invited us to a birthday party that had a petting zoo.
Yes.
And we never heard from it again. We never got a single detail on that.
And just last week, Claire was like, when's that petting zoo birthday
party? Yeah, I want that to sink in, Steven, because you also, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, told my kids that you could take them to Comic-Con, of which you also didn't come through on. So you're putting real stepdad vibes in right now, Steven. You are are the uncle making promises that you cannot fulfill. So come on through, Stephen.
So we've got a lot to talk about.
We have so many things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Mostly here to slander Stephen, the best producer we could ask for. But I want to first give a big thank you to everyone who's been coming out to shows since this last, you know, this last time that we did a pod, which was a couple weeks ago. Did I do one after Skyline? If I didn't, Appleton, thanks for coming out. Appleton, Wisconsin.
I don't think you did Skyline.
Appleton, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. fine people, lovely people. I don't think I did Matthew, Ralza.
Patron.
Yep. It was nice to meet you both. Thank you for coming. That was great. Those shows were fun. Definitely the best I'd sold in Appleton before. Appleton is a lovely little area. And I was competing against the Air Show, which is apparently a big deal. As a matter of fact, your mom, who I saw in Phoenix, which I'll get to, your mom knew about that Air Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We need to come up with like a term when I do comedy stuff, like
Dustin's comedy rant.
Dustin's comedy corner.
Okay.
Let's go to DCC, everybody. Comedy corner, where I tell you a little bit about comedy business, comedy insight. Welcome to the first edition of DCC, Dustin's comedy corner. Okay. So when you are my level of comedian, you sell some tickets, not a lot. Not a little. As I said many times, I'm not a big deal. I'm not a deal. I'm some people's favorite comic. A lot of people have never heard of me too. I know that. I know exactly where I'm at. So when you go into certain places, and actually I'm just now getting out of this level. I would actually say this doesn't apply to me anymore. But when you first start headlining, you're a holiday headliner. That was a school night headliner, seasonal headliner, a holiday headliner. You get holiday weekends a lot. You get-
Fourth of July.
Some of my four, yeah. But Fourth of July now, because we're a little more established, I get to do in town, which is great. Because I want to work because I have a problem, but I want to not have to leave. So holiday headliner, in town, that's a win for Mic Drop. Hopefully we're doing it again next year, Mic Drop. Casey, this is, I am available. I'm sending you avails. I might have a bigger agent now. You might have to run through, but you text me. We'll see. I'm doing a lot of this today.
Okay. I think we have plans next July, but continue.
Fourth of July? You get that a lot because the holiday weekend, because they're like, hey, you can do the job. We're already not going to sell a lot of tickets this weekend. And a bigger name isn't going to want to do this. So you come in, it'll be good shows. You're not going to make other times. Sometimes what happens is you are competing against a big thing in that town, but you don't always know
until you get
in
there.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
The guy was very clear to me because I'm doing a one-nighter there. He's like, you do not want to perform when there's a Chiefs game. Don't be a Super Bowl Sunday, stuff.
Yeah,
you don't want to touch anything to do with that. But comics do work on those days. This booker, Adam, who runs a bunch of great clubs, I'm very grateful. I don't know that he knew he was doing it, but I suspect he may have, which was like Oshkosh has a giant Air Show. You saw people talking about it on my Facebook page. Remember? People are like, oh, the Air Show is that weekend. Oh, should we go to this or the Air Show? That was that weekend.
Yes, I did.
So Wisconsin has some giant Air Show that your mom, who has spent a lot of her life in decades in the aviation world, it knew about it, and it was like, it's a huge deal.
It's a big one.
So even with the Air Show, Appleton, you were wonderful. Thank you for coming out.
Did you tell him thanks for choosing me over the Air Show?
Thank you for choosing me over the Air Show. Genuinely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Genuinely so much. I know a few of you guys drove in from Milwaukee. That's a Wayne's World reference.
Oh, Milwaukee. Yeah.
Alice Cooper says that. I don't remember what Native American tribe he says, which is Native American for the good land. And then Wayne goes, does this guy know how to party or what? And then we're not worthy. Anyways, I did a church gig on the Thursday before, and then I flew to Wisconsin. And then I had like one of the more bonkers nights of our lives. But I'll just tell...
Sure.
I'll kind of tell my side of it and then we'll fill in.
Okay.
Just from a comedy standpoint, what happened was Sunday, July 31st, I woke up in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yes.
The next time I would lay my head to sleep, at least at night, would be in my own bed in San Diego, California. However, I would do a pit stop where I would go do a show in Phoenix, Arizona. So I woke up, I had done four shows that weekend. I took a very early flight to Phoenix, got to Phoenix.
Gain a little time going west.
Get the old hotel, of which I'm not going to stay the night in. I got a hotel to take a nap in and shower, and then Josh Novy, very funny comic who was middling for me, came and picked me up. I went and did the show. My original plan was to drive back that night because you were gone, which we'll talk about a little bit. You were in Ohio still, and Joel and Claire were home, and we're like, hey, you're not going to be home alone all night. Dad's going to get here. It's just going to be a little on the late side.
Yeah.
And then it hit me, wait, Phoenix, San Diego, Southwest flights. All the time. Those happen constantly. Mm-hmm. And bad story long. Sorry from my view. I can see our neighbor weed eating with his shirt off right now.
He's got another tool for sale in the front yard. I think it's a saw.
Our 92-year-old neighbor is just out getting it. Oh, that's so funny. I told you this. I saw our neighbor watering his grass the other day.
Yeah.
And we have a drought in California right now. Mm-hmm, and you're definitely not supposed to water your grass.
Right.
But he's 92. So I'm like, yeah, man, do it.
His house and his yard are immaculate.
You're 92. Let him have some nice grass. Like, he's going to be gone before that grass is. You know, let him have some.
He
nice
sold drink. His ladder, or he had it out with the for sale sign. And I said, oh my gosh, is he going to stop getting on his ladder?
Yeah, Don is
there's
incredible.
No way. There's no way he's going to stop. He probably bought a new ladder. Taller ladder.
Anyways, I do the show in Phoenix. I meet and greet. I shake some hands. A couple of patrons were there. Thank you. You guys were fantastic. It was really nice to visit with all of you and coming back. And we had a couple of patrons drive in from Tucson, which is nice.
Wow.
It was nice.
That's nice.
Very nice. Your mom was there, which was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
she brought a crew.
She brought a crew, mm-hmm. and she was a good. She was at, so your mom was in like the very front row.
Oh no!
And I was like, Charlene, I adore you. You're on the record. I put in print how much I like you. Please don't be in the very front row. Because enough jokes in this current hour. They're not dirty. I'm a clean comedian, but they're about your daughter and me. I could just. Four rows deep would be
you're
great.
Like, I just can't look out and you're the first face I see as and not I the deliver first. These punchlines.
11th, 12th, 15th face, absolutely. But anyways, the Phoenix show was great, really fun. And the booker was like, we need to get you back sooner. And then I was like, I got to write. please allow some time for the creative process here. And then I got on a plane and I got back here to San Diego. So that was
an incredible
sigh of relief
when you made it back.
So thank you for that, everybody who came to that. And then any new fans that I picked up in Delaware and North Carolina, Wilmington, which is where I want to retire. I want to retire in Wilmington, North Carolina. North Carolina is the most underrated state in America. I love North Carolina. Love it.
I haven't been there.
Three great cities, Raleigh, Charlotte, Wilmington. I'm a big fan of all three of those cities.
Isn't it kind of like East Coast San Diego?
Yeah, I think that's probably...
It's
not
the beach.
Wilmington specifically does. Yeah. They don't all have beach. They're all... Charlotte's a city. Charlotte is a city.
I haven't been there.
Charlotte's a fairly big city. They have sports teams. They like a
NASCAR?
Lot of like a lot of the NASCAR drivers live there.
Yeah.
You know, there it's a very established city and a big airport. It's a city. Mm-hmm. No, Charlotte is a city.
Yeah.
Raleigh is a college city because there's three big colleges there: Duke, NC State, and UNC. Or they're all right there. It's all like huge colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wilmington is this. I guess from what someone told me, Wilmington is actually North Carolina's. Like oldest city.
Sure.
So it's got like kind of it, you know what it feels like? It feels like Monterey. It feels like
it's got the old
it's very old coastal city feeling. Like it's great. Mm-hmm. Big fan of Wilmington. And there's a good comedy club there. And that show we did with Nate was like bonkers. It was like outside, it was like 4,000 people. It was crazy.
Yeah, what kind of venue was that?
It was amphitheater. It was an outdoor amphitheater.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you showed me a I think you FaceTimed me.
I FaceTimed you. Yeah, it was crazy. And then we went to New York. I have plenty to say about New York, probably on a different episode. I'll do a whole New York breakdown episode. But the folks that came out in Brooklyn, thank you. That was very fun. That might have been the most fun show of the tour so far. And it's hard to say. There's been some great ones, but that one really stands out. I think I told you this. They sold 100 tickets. There were only 60 seats. And so there were a lot of people standing.
You're like, hey, you can go to the show.
Yeah.
You don't have a seat.
I know. That's I told them it was very cool. It was Brooklyn. It was underground. It was very hipstery. And I told them, I'm too old for this. I'm way too old. I feel like the dad chaperoning this event.
A geriatric hipster.
A geriatric millennial. That's our term, right? That's what they call us.
Yes, but maybe you can be a geriatric hipster.
You know, I intentionally use the term boomer on stage just so I feel a little young up there.
Yes. Every time somebody asks me to take a picture for them and I'm like, I'm sorry, like a stranger.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of a boomer.
Yeah.
And
don't say it. You're an artist, you're a photographer. Mel's Insta stories have been killing it lately.
I'm not great with technology. I'm fine with technology.
Mel has been, in 2021, Mel got into memes. In 2022, Mel got into Instagram stories. Mel likes to catch a thing on their way out.
I got on Pinterest super late.
You did get on Pinterest, yeah.
I used Pinterest for years. Mm-hmm. I was like, be creative yourself.
Do you think that was
don't copy everyone.
Do you think that's your oppositional defiance disorder?
This is my Enneagram 4.
Oh, yeah, the artist.
Like, I'm unique.
Yeah.
The creativity comes from me. I don't need Pinterest.
Right.
And then I did that with iTunes. I was like, I don't need iTunes.
Yeah.
And you figured it out. And then I didn't figure out iTunes until I taught Body Pump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mel got in 2016.
Mel got into iTunes about 4 years ago.
Yeah. So
back when you were like, is iTunes still around?
Podcasts. I'm always late on these trends.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think
in 4 years, Mel's going to get into TikTok.
Yeah.
And they'll already have all of our data and stuff. And
they'll be in charge of us.
Yeah. But you know what?
It was fun.
TikTok's pretty cool. So it'll be fun having them in charge. TikTok's a good time. If they're in charge.
Why not let China know everything about you?
You know, if they're in charge, it's at least it's going to be some good music. It's going to be pretty upbeat, you know.
Pretty upbeat.
Yeah.
With the trends and the tunes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. TikTok's fun. It's funny. We hardly watch TV anymore. Last night we had a bit of an
best AFE, right?
America's Funniest Home Videos. Last night what we did for our anniversary celebration, really our anniversary is when you come to Seattle with me, but we went to dinner earlier in the day. We went out and did some shopping, went to North Park, got mom a new romp.
Mel got
a new romper.
That's a romper.
Yeah.
We moseyed North Park.
We moseyed North Park with boutique coffees and overpriced rompers. And my romper fit well. Sorry, it's stupid. Do you remember that old joke that I used to do about the leash? Do you remember that joke?
Yeah.
It's an old joke. For those of you, I don't have a place for this joke to go, so I'm going to tell it right here on the podcast. So a lot of time you see people using the leash, you know, the leash, like for the kid and stuff, the leash. And people are like, judge you when you see it. But honestly, I don't really judge it because I don't mind the way it feels. That's a jokey
joke. You did more like an act.
The leash? This is audio format here. Just the leash. You remember the leash? It's a... Yeah, that's a rhythm that I have. The leash, you've seen it? The leash, I repeat. I do a little Sebastian, yeah. These people. Yeah, but it's a very silly. Where did we go? I went to leash, to romper.
North Park. Then
last night we came back. We had some leftover beers that I brought from Tembler Brewing Company in Bakersfield, which I'll talk about in just a second. And they weren't leftover. They were given to you.
They
were beers.
Yeah. They were open. They were flat.
Yeah, exactly. They were half drank. They were mixed with other beverages. No, they were just normal beers. And we watched TikTok and it was a delight. It was very fun. Okay, so then this last weekend of shows after Brooklyn was Tembler Brewing Company in Bakersfield. Sold out show. So much fun. Great. Thank you. Little echoey, little dark. One of those shows where I couldn't tell that people were having fun because I couldn't see or hear them very well. But merch sold really well and everybody loved it. So it was great. And then the next day.
It's fun for everyone but you.
That's exactly what me and Matt said. But then I don't want to be that negative about it. Matt Lockwood middled and he was very funny. He had good sets because then he hosted in Oxnard the next day too. And it was awesome. Yeah, it was great. It was very fun. And then the next day, the Oxnard came out. And I want to clarify on this. I did joke about how Oxnard was killing us. We had not sold a lot of tickets. We ended up selling 100 tickets. And I know that you may have seen me because I toured with some other big act. Or you may come in and you might see these rooms not entirely full. That's a good night for me in Oxnard. Even by comedy standards, I know we're very... Welcome to Dustin's Comedy Corner, everybody. We're a 1%er industry that you know, 99% of the tickets are sold by the top 1% of the comics. And there aren't There are very, 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 very few comedians that sell huge, 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 huge. And we're picking up momentum. We're very grateful for that. And Oxnard's a weird market. It's like Oxnard, Ventura, kind of Santa Barbara. But Santa Barbara, people don't want to drive down to Oxnard. You know, like
right.
The whole point of living in Santa Barbara is that you don't have to go to Oxnard,
well,
I think.
You know it's a weird market because they kept thanking you for coming.
Yeah, and
because a lot of bands or comics skip them.
They skip them, absolutely. They're like,
they can't sell enough tickets.
They're like, well, come in, you got to play LA. And that's mm-hmm. that's actually one thing I was talking to Adam Bush, comic and Patreon. I was talking to him about how you have to be so big to play smaller markets and sell well there. And like I use the example of like Tulsa. Tulsa's near Oklahoma City. And I can't just go play Tulsa because I don't have enough fans in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Like I can't play Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. I have to play Indy and Fort Wayne has to come to me.
Yeah.
I can't play Dallas and Fort Worth
yeah.
or Dallas and Plain. I can't play the side cities of that. You got to mm-hmm. come to me.
You can play Dallas 1 year and Fort Worth the
exactly.
next year.
Exactly. I can't play Seattle and Tacoma like we did last year consecutively like mm-hmm. that. You have to do maybe every 6 months, maybe you just kind of, you have to make the drive. And we get that because we live in San Diego and we're mm-hmm. like, hey, Brandi Carlile's not coming to San Diego this tour.
Right.
We want to see her. We're going to LA.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that is sometimes when I'll have fans and I know you comes from a good place when you're like, oh, come here, come to Peoria, Illinois. And you're like, I'm not gonna. I'm sorry.
That's just like a logistics.
It's just, yeah, it's, like it's, yeah, not it's anytime like, soon. You got to be big, big to come to Peoria. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes when they do, it's like the fair.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, which is the fair brings in a lot of people, stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, where it's not just a straight
right.
comedy club.
Where it's why you got to play yeah. the internet. Because mm-hmm. you pick up fans in these areas. So
yeah, or like anyways. A festival or something.
So we have to, really what we're here to talk about though, and uh-huh. all of that stuff, mm-hmm. and all of that craziness that was going on is Munchie Mug. That was my worst segue into it, but I looked down and was like, we're at 24 minutes. I actually thought about Munchie Mug the other day because I was flying a lot.
Yeah.
And I was flying Southwest. And let me tell you about Southwest. There's some messy toddlers on Southwest. There are some messy families fly Southwest a lot and yeah. people talk to you mm-hmm. and it's outgoing. It's actually more rare on Southwest when there isn't a crying baby.
Yeah.
On Delta, you have crying adults because they're sad that they travel so much. And yeah. on, mm-hmm. on Southwest, you have crying babies. And I don't mind a crying baby, as I've said. Many, you've heard me say this before. You know the only thing worse than a crying baby on a plane? The adult that complains about it.
Yeah, because they were all crying babies.
Yeah.
Everybody cries when they're a baby.
It's a baby. And if it were socially acceptable for me to cry, I would.
Right.
I would. The baby is right about flying. You should, we all should be crying on planes. Mm-hmm. The baby is right. With that being said, there's a messy toddler. There's a messy toddler. And I did mm-hmm. think in that moment as they had a little, it was like a popcorn mix and they had candy corn in it. And I was like, I didn't even know
what?
You could get candy corn
Are
this
you serious?
Time. Yeah, they had a popcorn candy corn mix and it was all over
the
place.
Southwest?
On the Southwest. What? No, they didn't give that out.
Oh, the mom?
The mom brought that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't even get that yet.
Yeah, well.
I guess it's
she
fall.
Found it.
I guess it's
she might have had it from last year. The candy corn's the last thing to go.
Do you? I have to tell this again because
we're
it's
in the middle
so
of an
ridiculous.
Ad right now. So.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Tell it afterwards. And you know what they needed is they needed a Munchie Mug. They absolutely
yeah,
needed a Munchie
it's
Mug.
It's the perfect travel companion for a young child.
If you guys don't know what Munchie Mug, it's the best spill-proof cup on the market. Great. A lot of different colors and
a nice sensory
experience. Dishwasher safe. Made right here in the USA. That's how you keep your candy corn fresh all year round. if you guys go to munchiemug.com and you use promo code don't make me, that's all one word, no apostrophe, don't make me, you're going to get 25% off your order and free shipping for the world's premium number one no spill snack cup. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
That's good. Now tell me what this story you were going to hit.
This story is
You're on
so
today.
Ridiculous.
You're banging right now.
Well,
you had that cold brew.
The lighting is making me tired, but I am
I couldn't
on.
Tell.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on today.
This story is so ridiculous. Okay. So one time I bought candy corn in the bargain bin
mm-hmm.
at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
I was like, great, this is
I think
is
that's
great.
The only place you can buy it.
It's like 99 cents. Okay.
There's no fresh candy corn.
So
no matter how much you pay for it, by the way, it wasn't a bargain.
No, they made it once in a factory. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I bring the candy corn home. I put it in our Halloween decorations because I'm putting them away.
Right.
Where do I put them? I put them in our shed. We don't have a garage, but it's the same. I used to call the shed a garage.
Yeah, it's a shed. People know. You don't have to elaborate on what sheds are. Okay.
I put the candy corn in the shed with our Halloween decorations.
Uh-huh.
And then I pulled it out the next Halloween and a rat had eaten all of the candy corn. And I don't know why I thought they were going to be fine in there.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking at all.
That's because candy corn is so gross that you assumed even a rat wouldn't eat it.
Or that it wasn't food.
The rat's like, do you got any Twix? Do you got any?
I think I was like, this would be great for
art projects.
I'm going to use this for art projects next Halloween. I put in the shed and then I just threw that whole box away. I threw away all our Halloween decorations.
That's very funny.
Because that was so disgusting.
It's very funny that you thought of candy corn not as food or treat.
I would do that.
But as art project. I mean, it's more useful in that sense. You're like, are we doing a Thanksgiving unit? Is there?
Yeah.
Can it be a little stand-in cornucopia? Or what are those things?
Little STEM activity?
A little STEM activity. By the way, speaking of tour dates.
Yeah.
Next one coming up is today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, August 17th in Irvine tonight. And then next stop on the tour, we're going to be in Seattle, August 26th and 27th. 27th are sold out. 26th tickets are moving. So get moving on that. August 28th, Spokane, Washington. August 31st, Raleigh, North Carolina. Then we get into September, going to my favorite state, Raleigh, I said before. Mm-hmm. And then Charlotte is the first. Indy is the second and third. Kansas City is the fourth. The 16th, Atlanta. Sorry, we had to move Salt Lake City. We're working on rescheduling. We'll get on that soon. There's some stuff coming up that we'll tell you about. The 16th, Atlanta. The 17th, Minneapolis. Two shows on that one. The late show, early show is already sold out. The 18th is Portland. We just added this one, September 23rd. Lynchburg, going back to Liberty University. Check that out. The 25th, Louisville. The 29th, Houston. The 30th and October 1st, Austin. Put a pin in this one. I'll talk about it in a second. October 2nd, Dallas, Texas. And October 14th and 15th, Royal Oak, Michigan. October 19th, Helium Comedy Club in Philly. And we move St. Louis to January 6th and 7th because of some stuff coming up. But this is the first time we're announcing this. October 2nd, ladies and gentlemen, at the Addison Improv in Addison, outside of Dallas, I'll be recording my next comedy special.
Woo!
Come on out, everybody. We're going to film it that night. We'll record it, edit, release a couple months later, depending on World Cup schedule. We'll see. But I'm super excited. It's been almost exactly 2 years since we recorded Overwhelmed.
Almost exactly, yeah.
Almost
September.
It took me about 2 years to write the next hour, which is very encouraging because the first one took me about 9 years to write. So this one...
And you wrote a book.
And I wrote a little book in between there. As some people have commented in there, there's at least one person furious that a lot of my old jokes are in there. And it's like, do I not put out enough content into the world? Is it not enough? I feel like I put out a lot of content in the world, the majority of it free, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of Dustin's old bits are in here.
Very entertaining. I read it in one weekend.
Two stars. Very funny. That's my favorite. Somebody gave my favorite review of the book recently, and they're like, this wasn't a marriage book. This is more of a memoir. It's funny and all, but it was mostly this guy just like talking about how to live and love somebody that you have opposing worldviews on. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a marriage book. That's a comedy marriage
book. You described a marriage
book. You literally described what I told you this book was going to be. But it is very funny. I hate reviews so much. I hate them. Actually, I'm going to tell this little story on the podcast right here.
Great.
I think this will be a nice little moment here. Maybe I can get a nice clip from it because this is, you know, a little insider here. Cue up your laughs, by the way. We can't get clips if you don't laugh at the right times.
Yeah.
You like how I put the pressure on you?
Well, what if we put the rat story in those laughs?
Oh, okay. So we'll edit. Wow. Melissa's a little Hollywood magic here.
Me laughing at my own insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me share this with you. I don't know if I've shared it with you. I think I have, but I'll say it. I was feeling very down about negative reviews on my book. It was very discouraging and very disheartening.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my, on Goodreads, On Amazon, we have a 4.9 out of 5 stars. On Goodreads, we have a 4.4 out of 5, which is a very high rating.
Yeah.
But, you know, I focus on the negative reviews and I get down and I get discouraged. And it's very discouraging when someone tells you that they don't like your book and your book is a memoir, because you're like, that means you don't like my life. Oh my gosh.
This guy's life sucks.
Yeah, didn't like the book, didn't like his stories. Oh gosh, neither do I. That's why I wrote a book about him. And then I went to compare my book reviews to other book reviews.
Yeah.
And I went and I looked at A Tale of Two Cities. And A Tale of Two Cities has a 3.8 out of 5
on
Goodreads.
That's so nuts.
Who wakes up one day and gives Charles Dickens a negative review? Who wakes up in the 21st century and goes like, no, actually, the whole book was the worst of times?
So ridiculous.
The book was before the internet. You don't get to write a negative review at about a book that happened before the internet. It's one of the greatest books of all time.
It's a classic.
Written by one of the greatest authors of all time. Stinking Jerry in Indy wakes up one day and says, I have a bone to pick with Dickens. Finally.
I reread it. Still don't like it.
I'm going to make sure that nobody reads this book anymore. Why? Yeah,
my review will turn.
Why
will
did turn you the leave a review on Tale of Two Cities? Why? Why? That book is established. What are you going to leave a review on, the Bible next? Hey,
I think Jerry needs a book club.
I think Jerry needs a. Jerry needs a friend. Jerry needs a friend. Jerry.
He needs to teach high school English.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think a high school English teacher would give it one star.
That's just insane.
It's so funny to me. And
I bet there are reviews of the Bible on Goodreads.
I'm sure there is. I think it's so funny that one day somebody was like, dude, I'm going to give Homer, man.
The Iliad sucks.
The Iliad sucks. Haven't been this bored since the Odyssey. And
Do your dad joke.
My dad joke.
That you wrote this weekend.
I did. Dad jokes are just they're getting too much. Joel cringes so bad at him now that I just love it so much. So Joel has to read the Odyssey for school, and I told him that he's falling behind in his homework.
That's good.
What's funny is this is his response. He furrows his brow, and then he goes, ugh. And then it hits him. I was like, it's a great joke. It's a great joke. Some people want to hear.
Best. The best.
Some people want to hear about this. Somebody's mentioned this on Twitter. They said, because I tweeted, this is true. My son has decided that he wants to be a comedian, which means I have failed both as a comedian and a father.
Yes.
And it's a huge letdown that I have, A, as a father, let him think that this was a reasonable career that he could pursue. And B, as a comedian, made him believe that he could do it. You know, that it was attainable in some way. And that it was worth it. I don't know. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, you can't. We've talked about this before. When you have the job that we have, the career, the business that we have, we can't tell our kids not to pursue a weird dream.
No, we can't.
Especially when, tell them what you're right now, like, you can't be like, higher education, math and science, engineering. Like, you can't do that, because what are you planning right now?
I'm planning a all-school art gallery night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what is it for?
So, every classroom.
This is at our elementary school.
Every classroom will have an art instructor and supplies and an art lesson. And then the whole school will come together at a community center for an art gallery.
Right.
And another art lesson and instruction.
Yeah. So you can't be like, hey, don't pursue anything in the arts. You can't.
I think you just have to work like so much harder.
Yeah.
I mean, math and science, absolutely really difficult careers.
Right.
You have to work really hard, you know, to become a doctor.
Right.
Or be an engineer. Just with art, it does require so much work
talent. Well, I mean, we have some friends who, like our friend Peter, who does, if you follow us, you've seen his art in a lot of different places. He's designed a lot of our merch. He has designed a lot of our like show flyers.
Yeah, we collab with him a lot.
He designed the Overwhelm logos and stuff. He was the photographer for that. We're great. And
we collaborate with him on our Christmas photo shoot every year.
He literally has murals around this city, and he's great. He's a very talented artist, and he does what a lot of artists do, which is like he has kind of a dream setup that he has the steady art job, you know, where he works at a place that hires him for very specific art for that company, and then it can freelance on the side for the art that he wants to do. But it's hard. It's hard to, there's only so many art jobs, though it's a better time now to get into video and storytelling and video editing. Those are all great life skills to have. What I told Joel was like, you can pursue this, but you have to pursue this
in tandem as
you simultaneously with the same amount of tenacity pursue a different career, like a job career, because that's what we did. Like we
had jobs and got our schooling.
Yeah.
And then we had jobs and side hustles.
And then the side hustle hustles. That's that's one of my favorite things that boomers do, is when they tell you, you're like, well, millennials and Gen Z, they don't have the work ethic that we had. We would go to our jobs for 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I would work that job. And you're like, just one job?
For a family.
You had, let me get this straight. All of your financial needs were met through one employer. Oh, and they gave you free insurance? That sounds like a vacation for a millennial. That sounds like the comfiest, coziest life.
Plus a retirement contribution. Matching.
Yeah. They gave you a party when you were done on the way out. Oh, unbelievable.
No, but I meant like
I started here the day after. Oh, yeah. I started here the day after I graduated from college. And I had to start off at $60,000 a year. What?
Been climbing that corporate ladder.
$60,000 a year? You mean what two homes cost back then?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. $60,000 a year. Okay, if I took that $60,000 and tripled it, that can almost be a down payment of a home.
Depending on the location.
Depending on where I live. So anyways, artist career. Yeah, so you got to pour. Yeah, and that's, you know, we've talked about this on other podcasts and stuff before. And maybe in the comedy memoir book that there will be at some point, hopefully, there will be lots of tales of the, you know, there's a lot of airport sleeps.
Yeah.
I know you can name an airport, and I can tell you
where to sleep in
that airport. Yeah. And I can tell you when you can sleep, you know, like it's like your prime sleep hours are from about midnight to 4, and then the airport starts working up,
the
buzz starts happening. So you have to choose a gate that doesn't have an early flight. So you kind of have to look at the gate schedules, and you're like, okay, B2's earliest flight. It looks like the B terminal wakes up late, and so I can get a little more sleep there. Minneapolis has that little cushion area up there. You know, there's some, you know, the rocking chairs in Chicago are pretty good. There's lots of, you find some things.
Tips and tricks.
Yeah, it's not good. You don't want to do it, but you just want to be like, next time I take Joel on the road, I went with him on this road trip. This actually wasn't a bad version for him to see.
No.
Because it was drive 4 hours, shower, go to the gig. We stayed up.
Eat at the gig.
Yep. Come back. Now, the downtime that we had was after the show, but that was after book signings and pictures and saying hi to friends. You know, Katie was there and Melody Carr came out, which was great. And it was fun to see everybody that I know there, talking with comics, getting the check. And then we went back and Joel and I finished Lord of the Rings, which let's talk about that. We'll end talking about that.
Okay.
And then we'll do our bingo dingo. And then I told him, like, you got to sleep in tomorrow. You have to sleep in tomorrow because we are not going to sleep after the show tomorrow. We're going home. So we have 2 hours to the gig, do the gig, then 3 hours home. That's a little road.
And that last hour is brutal. The hardest.
Oh my God. Yeah. He tried to sleep in the back of the car, which was adorable. I tried to.
That's cute.
I wish he could have, but he can't. He doesn't have the gift. He doesn't have that Hoagland kid gift.
Some people can just sleep in cars.
Well, I think your dad trained you on those early road trips. I think that you guys were trained to sleep on road trips.
No, actually, Hoaglands aren't nappers, but my sisters could.
Yeah.
Specifically April. April was the car sleeper. Everybody else wasn't.
Okay. I remember because we did some road trips with April.
April will take a car nap.
Yeah. Alec Perrin has a joke. He goes, naps are like time travel for depressed people. And you just wake up in the future. That is the joke that somebody who lives in a van would write. But
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good joke.
I like that.
It is very funny. And anyway, so that was a nice little, and like he was like,
it's good for him to see the yeah. hustle well, and the work.
And exactly. And he was like, he heard me talk about the brewery show and how I was like, well, this is like an independent, like one nighter. There's no club. There's no agent. We make no a little more money. Here. There yeah. is a booker, but like, oh, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. yeah.
And I go, you know, there's because in Bakersfield, Dustin's Comedy Corner here, Bakersfield doesn't have a comedy club.
Yeah.
And so but I have fans in Bakersfield
mm-hmm.
and I've played there a lot with Taylor, yeah. with Nate, mm-hmm. with John. And you kind of pick up peripheral. I played a show in the Cars backyard. I've picked up some shows, some fans there.
Yeah.
But if they don't have a comedy club, they don't have a, so you look for these smaller venues.
Yeah.
And that's what happened there until you get to the theater, which very few people get to the theater. Rogan's right. playing the theater. Like Mulaney's playing the theater. Like yeah. that's who's playing the theater.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, I'm like, I'll probably be back here next year because this seat's 190, but then you can go to the main room and that seat's like 270. And you're like, okay, well, that's a growth year.
It's a good
year.
Jump.
If it sells,
yeah.
then you add a second show and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then we went to Oxnard and Oxnard, the way that they build these clubs, these improvs, yeah. these levities, they're gigantic. They mm-hmm. seat like four or five. As soon as you walk in, you go, oh, I know this. Because you've seen them too. You're
oh,
like,
yeah.
this is Irvine, this mm-hmm. is Raleigh, this mm-hmm. is Brea. They're all the same.
Yeah.
And
they're great clubs.
They are great clubs, but they're built big. They want,
yep.
they're like, they we want.
They're like mini theaters.
Well, that's the idea, mm-hmm. is that they want, when Segura's working out his new hour, and Bert, and Joe Coy, and yep. Sebastian, they Smart. Want them to come do these. I mean, I think it was Joe had like 17 consecutive sold out shows at Irvine.
Amazing.
It's bonkers. Wow. Huge. Angela Johnson, same thing.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
those, uh-huh. We're doing that on Friday. I'm
yeah,
doing
yeah.
a guest spot for Angela mm-hmm. on Friday in San Diego here. And so that was good for Joel to see because he's like, well, it's kind of dead in here. And you're like, no, this is what 120 sure. people in a 500 seat venue feels like.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was a lot of fun, but I knew what it was. But yes. he had seen sold out the night
and
before.
And you have been tracking tickets for months.
Right.
So
I knew that.
You know how many
days before,
people buy.
8 days before, we were at 26 tickets sold.
Oh my gosh.
So that was a nice bump.
Yeah. But also, Joel just sees like the YouTube shorts. So
yes.
he doesn't.
Oh, Melissa.
And he sees the mechanics yeah. of video editing.
So, and he sees a ton of stand-up right now. And Matt Lockwood, very funny comic, who mm-hmm. I started with here in San Diego.
Yeah.
He was middling for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he hosted in Oxnard and Irene middled. Irene too, also very funny.
Yeah.
And then he middled for me in Bakersfield. And that's fun because it's local and I can't pay for a hotel and stuff. So he yeah. can drive there and drive mm-hmm. back. And I told Joel recognized Matt from a YouTube short that went very big
yeah.
from Don't Tell, because uh-huh. Don't Tell clips are so big. And in front of
they're
the two of
big,
us,
like around the world,
huge mm-hmm. views. And mm-hmm. yeah, they're killing it. And Joel was like, Dad, Matt has way more views than yours.
Nothing like a child to humble you.
This is the same kid that when I was on MLB Network for an hour, I was on a sports television show as a guest host for an hour. And he goes, you seem nervous. Jeez. Gee, I felt like I was pretty confident. I'd love to see
you go. I actually wasn't nervous.
I'd love to see you go riff for 44 minutes of
in studio,
at
like
live.
5, 8 in the morning.
With baseball analyst and a former baseball player. Like, I don't know anything. Like, what do you think of the Mets bullpen? What?
Yeah, in
they
New
have
York.
One
in New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
So anyways,
thrown to the wolves.
But what was fun is because when you were in Ohio, which we didn't even get to this next
we'll
episode.
We'll talk about. Yeah.
When you were in Ohio, Joel and I cranked out the first two Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring and the Two Towers. I was like, this is actually a good opportunity for me to watch these because
yeah.
Claire goes down early. Joel's old. We tried to watch this. Lord of the Rings is not. You got
to
be a
we
high schooler.
We tried to watch it during the pandemic with the girls.
It's kind of scary
maybe like five
and
minutes.
Slow.
Minutes.
It's a bad combo. Scary and slow. Because the
yeah.
orcs are pretty scary, actually.
I think, yeah, absolutely.
There's
it's
a couple,
way too slow.
There's a couple scenes in, spoiler alert for Lord of the Rings.
If you've never seen this.
Return of the King. when Shiva, the spider, shows up. Mm-hmm. The spider got Joel.
Oh, wow.
And I was, because I knew
that's
the
awesome.
I knew the spider was coming, right?
Yeah.
There were two scenes that.
There's like a jump scare.
Well, the jump scare is Bilbo.
Yeah.
When Bilbo reaches for the ring. And I knew it was coming, and I was just looking at Joel, and Joel's like, oh, because Bilbo had been so sweet.
And he turns.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
That was very good. That's exactly what that noise is. he tries to take the ring from Frodo.
I'm sorry.
I've been speaking pretty perfectly by the way. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wrap this microphone cord around your neck and end it to steal your line. And then in Return of the King, the spider got Joel. Because the spider holds up, actually. It's pretty scary.
That's awesome.
And
I only watched it once, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we famously, this is Melissa Dustin and John Hoagland, your brother. We watched the behind the scenes stuff. The cringiest thing I've ever heard an actor say.
Yes.
Is Sean Astin, I think his name is. The guy, Rudy, Mr. Sam. Mm-hmm. They go, you know, he kills the spider.
Yes.
And they go, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, your acting was so good, you know, and you couldn't even see the spider.
You're in, like, a little suit. You're like, you know?
Your acting was so good and was so believable and you couldn't see the spider. And he looked in the camera and he goes, I saw the spider.
All right.
Actors are way too much. Way too much. But he is great in that. I actually think that
I'm glad to hear it holds up.
It does hold up. And on a rewatch, Sam is my favorite part, actually, on a rewatch.
I can only imagine rewatching it, but he was so fantastic.
He's great. Yep. And on a rewatch of Lord of the Rings, Sam was the highlight for me. He was really
steady friend.
He's great. Samwise the Brave. And it was great. But anyway, so we watched that and it was fun. It was great to connect. It was such a bizarre experience to remember watching that when you were your kid's age. And
yeah,
we have a Bingo Dingo review of Super Pets because our family, I had Friday off and we did a wholesome family night where we went to a mall food court. Well, we were coming from Kung Fu and things were tight. And I told you, hey, go to Yard House. Get a table because Yard House is the best family dining experience for us. It's loud. It's cheap. There's a variety of food.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beers on tap.
A lot of apps.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big win for all parties. Mm-hmm. Our son, by the way, when he found out the show was at a brewery and he was like, oh, that's going to be good food. And I was like, is this what kids think now? But they are right. The brewery has become a very good family dining experience.
It's like a huge part of our culture.
It's great. I'm here for it. But so I say, like, leave early and then that way Claire and I will meet you there. And then
there's only so many Super Pets showings.
Yeah.
And they're early.
And you did not leave early.
Our son meandered after school.
You let him take a shower.
He needed a shower.
He was gross after a run. He was very gross.
And it didn't work out.
It didn't work out. These things happen. But so we go, let's food court it, which actually ended up being fine. We had five people. We ate at three different restaurants.
Yes.
And me and Gloria did Pokey and a Half. Mm-hmm. Claire did Wetzel's. Claire's like, I just want the hot dogs. I just
Claire
want
the pretzel the hot dogs. Just for the little hot dogs. She doesn't eat the pretzel buns.
Yeah.
Just the hot dogs.
Hilarious. You're like, I bet we could just get you a hot dog somewhere. But and then you and Joel got Rubio's.
Yeah.
And then we go to the movie and we see Wonder Pets, DC Wonder Pets, which is a harrowing tale of the dogs. Well, I'm not going to give any spoilers here, but
the superhero dogs.
They're superhero dogs. Mm-hmm. How they get there, whether or not they start as superhero dogs or I'm not going to tell anything about that. Mm-hmm. But it's Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of them doing movies together.
I'm not familiar.
It's a hot new fad, the two of them, a real up-and-coming crew.
There's a lot of SNL cast members in there.
There's a lot. There's a lot of... Mark Maron's in that movie. Keanu Reeves is Batman in that movie. Like, it's giant. There's huge. Mm-hmm. Krasinski is Superman. I didn't know any of that because none of them have been doing the press. It's crazy.
I think they're probably Kate McKinnon's in it. All their other movies.
Vanessa Bryant is in it. So good.
Claire had seen it with friends.
Yes.
And she wanted to share it with us.
Which is adorable.
We all went in with no expectations or the lowest of expectations.
Right.
And we enjoyed it.
Yeah. All five of us saw it. There was six other people in the movie theater, two other families. There was a family in front of us of four that had two teens, one teen that was on TikTok for most of the movie.
Yeah.
And because he was like 18 probably. And then
he was there for his brother.
Yeah. And then there were two adults.
Behind us,
a couple. They came in like, "We're the pets movie?" That's what they said to you.
You said the cats movie.
No, I think she said pets.
Yeah, pets. Yeah.
So what's your Bingo Dingo review of Super Pets?
I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5.
3.5. That's the lowest review you've ever given on a bingo.
I know.
Bingo. Yeah.
I know. I was going to give it 4 because Claire loved it so much.
Well, give it a 4 then. You give it what you want.
It was entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
And we liked all the stars in it. And,
this is the first.
And I laughed and I cried, but that's what I do in movies.
Yeah. No, yep. I would give it a 3.5. This is the most united we've ever been on a movie. And actually, I would say you giving a 3.5 is a little lower than I would expect. And
yeah,
me giving a 3.5.
I would usually give it a 4.
Might
yeah.
be what I might seem high for me. Because listen, it's a great movie. Of course, it's not an unbelievable movie. Very few are. But it's for a family movie. And especially a family movie that likes dog. Our family likes superheroes and dogs and comedy.
Yep.
It's a win for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a win for us.
3 out of 3.
Yeah. that checks all the boxes.
Our big kids weren't thrilled to see it.
No.
But they did go.
They did go.
And they got popcorn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah. They didn't put their popcorn in the Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, you've gotten enough love. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you guys.
All right. Bye.
Hey, folks, want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up tier. That list is Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code DeGrow, Dave Hoagland, Damarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farrah Journey, David and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, The Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ibling, Juliana Smith, Bonnie Galeando, and Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.